Now, nice to be back with you again in Whitburn for the preaching of the gospel. We trust that God will bless each one of us this evening as we read his word and seek to proclaim the gospel message. I'd like to read with you one verse towards the end of the Bible and then some other verses in the gospel of Luke. So 1 John, the first epistle of John and chapter 5. First epistle of John and chapter 5, and it's just one verse, and that's verse 12. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now we trust that God will bless that verse and others that we'll read later on in the meeting. I don't know how often each of you have heard the gospel message before. Maybe there's someone here for the first time. And maybe you wonder what it's all about. Maybe you wonder why the folks here come and preach the gospel. And maybe you think, well, they all come in their suits and they all look quite clever and intelligent. And it must be quite a complex thing that, well, there's a few exceptions to that, of course, but... Maybe you think it's something that's for the grown-ups, or it's something for someone who's, you know, we've read this verse this evening, and the gospel message is very, very simple, very, very straightforward. This evening, if you hope to be in heaven for all of eternity, if you hope to have your sins forgiven and be fit for the presence of God, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, our verse tells us the gospel message, just in a nutshell. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then you're ready for heaven. You have eternal life. Now I remember, I don't know if you're like me, but I didn't study particularly hard when I was at school. It was more just a lack of effort really, and more of an interest in having fun, I guess. But one subject I always liked was English. I always enjoyed English and I always enjoyed history. Because of the stories, and I liked listening and reading, and I always liked to read a book, and I liked a good story. When we were young, we used to have a gospel preacher who came to Bridger Weir, and his name was Peter Brandon. Now, some of the older folk here will have heard Peter Brandon, I'm sure. Peter Brandon told a story like no one else was able to tell a story. And I think it was him that gave the illustration, the gospel story. It's not from the Bible, it's an illustration. I think it was him that used this, and you know, I attempted to use the same illustration many times, and it wasn't just until maybe about a month ago, and I was looking at the internet. You know, the internet can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. But I found the story, and I realised how badly I had misrepresented the story. And I spoke somewhere not that long ago, and I used the story there just recently. But it's a wonderful story, and I can remember it really touching me then when I was just young. And hopefully it will touch you this evening. It's a story, it's called The Collector. And you'll notice that I've written it out, or it's been typed out, so I can't get it wrong this time. It illustrates our verse, and it illustrates the gospel. And I want you to listen to this story. There was a very wealthy man, and he lived, and he had a son. And they had a passion, they had an interest in collecting art. They collected art. They travelled round the world together, adding only the finest of paintings. They included works by Picasso, Van Gogh, and Monet, and all these great artists. The old man, his wife had died, but his son filled the void that in his life that had been created when his wife died. And this art collection was their common bond. It was what they lived for. You know, the war erupted. And the young man, the son, was enlisted, and he was sent overseas. And day after day, the old father prayed, and he held his breath, and he waited for news. One autumn day, the dreaded telegram came, bordered in black. The young man had died bravely in combat, trying to save others caught under enemy fire. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the future with anguish and with sorrow. One morning, a knock sounded on the door. The father opened the door to find a soldier carrying a small package. As they talked, the soldier said, "Your son and I became very close, and he told me all about your art collection. I myself am an artist, and I wanted to give you this. The man took the package and unwrapped it. And there was a portrait of his son. In striking detail, it wasn't a masterpiece, but it was the most precious work of art that the old man had ever seen. And as he gazed on it, he wept. As a young soldier left, the lonely father pushed aside thousands of pounds worth of art to hang the portrait of his son in the prized place above the mantelpiece. As the months passed, the old man received letter after letter from his son's friends telling him of his son's bravery and selflessness, and of how many lives he had saved and how many more he had touched. With each passing day, the portrait over the fireplace became more precious. And he told his friends that it was the greatest gift that he had ever received. The following spring, the old man grew ill, and he died. The artwork world was full of anticipation, wanting to get its hands on the old man's collection. A day was set to auction it off, and according to the old man's instruction, the first painting to be sold was that which was not on any museum's list. The painting was of the man's son. When the auctioneer asked for the opening bid, the room was silent. "Who will open the bid at $100? He asked. The moment stretched on awkwardly, and finally someone in the back of the room said, "Let it go, let's go on to the next piece." "No," replied the auctioneer, "we have to sell this one first." Finally, a neighbour of the man spoke. "Will you take $50 for the painting? That's all I have. But I knew the boy, and I liked him, so I would like to have it." $50. "We have $50, said the auctioneer. "Will anyone go higher?" No one did. Going once, going twice, and the hammer fell. Everyone breathed a sigh of relief, thankful that now they could proceed with the real auction and get their hands on the masterpieces. But imagine their shock when the auctioneer suddenly declared that proceedings were over. A large loud clamour arose, stunned disbelief. "What do you mean it's over?" the people shouted. "What about the masterpieces?" The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will, he who has the son has everything. He who has the son has everything." This evening, the gospel message is very simple. There was a father in heaven, and he loved this world despite its sin and despite its rebellion, and he gave his son. And his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to the cross of Calvary, and at the cross of Calvary, there he died for the sin of the whole world. Provision was made so that men and women need never be judged for their sins. And this evening, if you will take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, your sins will be forgiven, and you'll be ready for heaven. Because if you have the Son, you have everything. What was the words of our verse in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12? "He that hath the Son hath life." You know, we could really, I suppose, and I maybe won't make myself popular with the young folk, we could really, I suppose, close the meeting at that point, but we're not going to. This evening I want each one, young to old, to understand that there's nothing more important really than we have to say this evening. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, it doesn't matter what the future may hold. It doesn't matter whether you have poverty or wealth. It doesn't matter whether this world brings you happiness or sadness. If your sins have been forgiven, and if you have Christ as your Saviour, you have hope for eternity. You have eternal life. We will turn back briefly to the Gospel of Luke though. You see, it's very possible that you could sit in meetings like this frequently. It could be that you may think that you know this Jesus that we're going to speak about. It may be that you're very familiar with the stories that you have been told in Sunday school. It may be that you're very familiar, but you've never yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you wouldn't be on your own. You go to Luke's Gospel in chapter 23, and you're reading Luke's Gospel chapter 23 about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And you'll read about different people in that passage. Different people who had come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. Different people who had seen his miracles, had heard him speak. And they were now watching him die. And what was their attitude towards him? What did they think about this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, one who was truly man and yet truly God, the Son of God? We read from verse 1, Luke's Gospel chapter 23 and verse 1, and the whole multitude, that's the Jewish people, arose and led him unto Pilate and began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. Verse 3, and Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Down to verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me, as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Verse 21. But they cried, saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now to verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. Then he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We've read about three different people or groups of people in this passage. We've read about the Jewish people. We've read about Pilate. And we've read about this malefactor, this thief who hung on the tree beside the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Jewish people that we read about first, they were the nation that were God's people. God had chosen these people to be his own special people. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, the Messiah that they should have been expecting, the Messiah that their prophecies had told them about when he came, they rejected him. And they said, crucify him. Crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over. You know, it's true to say of the country that we live in that the gospel has been preached possibly more in this country than many other countries, if not any other country. And people are familiar with the name Jesus. People know who he was, and many would acknowledge that he was a man who lived thousands of years ago and did lots of good things, and they would see that. But you know, when it comes to their own life, they want nothing to do with it. And they reject him. And they say, well, we'll not have this man. And they'll go their own way. And they'll do their own thing. And they see no good, no merit, nothing that would attract them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who went to that cross at Calvary and there paid the penalty for sin. And these Jewish people, what a responsibility they have. You know, the Old Testament speaks Almost in every book it would speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the prophets. They should have expected the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus came, you remember, you don't need to read too much in the Gospels to find out the wonderful things that he did. You remember that he would heal the sick. He would restore sight to the blind. You remember that he would go near to people that no one else would go near to. You know, don't you remember the lepers? Those people that were cast out of the towns and the cities. And they had to live in squalor until they died. No one would go anywhere near them. So much so that, you know, if there was a leper coming along and he saw people, he had to shout out, unclean. No one would go near, do you know, the Lord Jesus. He reached out the hand, and not only would he go near them and speak to them, you know, the Bible tells us that he would touch them and he would heal them. You remember, don't you, that there were times when people were hungry and he fed them. You remember there were times then when people were at their wit's end and they didn't know what to do, and he healed them and he helped them. You remember there were people who had died, and the Lord Jesus in his power rose them from the dead. You know, it was said of the Lord Jesus, and it was some Roman soldiers that said it, well, Jewish soldiers I guess, but they said that never man spake like this man. And despite all of that, the Jewish people rejected him. This evening, I hope there's no one here who has sat through Sunday schools and gospel meetings and is familiar with this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet is still rejecting him. Because just remember that if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, in the words of 1 John 5 and 12, you do not have life. And you do not have hope for eternity. But you know, we also read about this man Pilate. You know, I don't know what you think, but I feel a bit sorry for Pilate. There was Pilate, and he was stood, and he was the judge that the Jewish people brought the Lord Jesus to. So they brought their problem to him. And they made it his problem. And it would seem to me that Pilate, he questioned the Lord Jesus, and he listened to the witnesses that were brought against the Lord Jesus, and he listened to them all. And he said, I find no fault. This man's innocent. These charges that you've brought, he's innocent of them. I've challenged him, I've listened to him, and I find him innocent. And more than that, I've sent him to Herod. And Herod's done the same. And Herod finds him innocent as well. I'm going to release him. The Jewish people, they weren't going to accept that. And they said, and you read about it in other passages, but they said, listen, if you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. And they were saying to Pilate, listen, you have to choose. You have to choose between this man, this man Jesus from Nazareth, that cursed place, a carpenter's son. You've got to choose between him and Caesar. Now maybe some of you are too young, but Caesar was a wicked man. He was a man who would put people to death just like that. And he was Pilate, and he had to make a decision between someone who he recognized to be a good man and someone who had the power of life and death over him. And he made the wrong decision. Maybe there's someone here today. It won't be Caesar. But you've got to make a decision. What is it that's keeping you from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? What is it that's keeping you from acknowledging to God that you have sinned? The Bible uses the word repent. Acknowledging your sin to God and turning your back on it. Realizing that that sin, no matter how small it is, whether it's just what we might call a white lie, being disobedient to your parents, any of those kind of things, that's sin. Doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is in our eyes. That sin needs to be forgiven if you're ever to be in heaven. And here's Pilate, he's faced with this decision. Same decision that you're faced with this evening. Many people in this country, maybe people in this hall. And they've sat through meetings like this, and they've been faced with the same decision. And they've thought to themselves, well, what will my parents think? What will my brother and sister think? What will my friends think? What about all the people that I go to school with? What about the people at work? My neighbours? What are they going to think if I come home and say that I put my trust and faith in Jesus and I'm a Christian? And I'm going to start going along to that gospel hall in Whitburn, and I'm going to start telling you about the Lord Jesus. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying. What on earth are my friends going to think? And there's many people, and they're sitting, and they're making a decision. And they're saying, I'm going to go with my friends. And I'm going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to reject the Son of God. I know that there was he was perfect. And I know he was the Son of God, and that he died at the cross of Calvary for my sins. But my friends, they would laugh at me. And they would maybe give me a hard time. You know, I remember an evangelist once saying this. He said, your friends, they can laugh you into hell, but they can never laugh you out. And that's the reality of the gospel message this evening. The reality of the gospel message is, if that you go into eternity and you have never had your sins forgiven, you have never taken Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, you have no hope for eternity. And in the words of 1 John 5:12, if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not have the Son, then you do not have life. And here's Pilate. And he made an awful decision. He had the Lord Jesus standing right in front of him. And he rejected him. Maybe there's someone in the hall this evening and you're saying, well, you're using very strong language this evening. There's never been a time in my life when I've rejected the Lord Jesus. I've delayed it. And I've put it off. And maybe it's going to be something I do when I'm an adult or when I'm older or what. Can I just say to you that Pilate never said he rejected Jesus either. What it says is that Pilate took a basin of water and he washed his hands and he said, see you to it. And effectively this evening, if you are delaying the matter of your salvation, if you're delaying putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're just doing the same thing. You're just washing your hands of it. And this evening, if you're washing your hands of the Saviour, and if you're putting it off, can I say to you kindly this evening, I wouldn't be in your shoes, not for a second. And here's Pilate, and he made an awful decision. And he washed his hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, we also read about this malefactor. This man who was hanging on the tree next to the Lord Jesus. And he was a man for whom surely there is no hope. He's a man who has lived a sinful life. By his own lips he says, listen, the reason that I'm on this cross is because of the things that I have done. It's because of the way that I have lived my life. And he was perfectly understanding of why he was on that cross. And you think to yourself, well, you know, if there's a candidate for God's judgment, there's a candidate there. But you know, my Bible tells me that this man did two things. First of all, he understood what he was. And secondly, he understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was. This evening, it's important that each one of us understands that too. You know, many of us might think that, you know, well, we're not really that bad. You know, we don't really deserve to be punished by God for sin. You know, that there are people out there that are far worse. And the prisons are full up of people that are far worse than any of us. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we've said already, it doesn't matter how minor we might think it is. It doesn't matter how major other people might think it is. Each one of us has sinned. And we have to, before God, recognize that. And that's what this thief on the cross did. He recognized that he was a sinner. But you know, more importantly, or as importantly, he also recognized who the Lord Jesus was. You know, first of all, he says, you know, see, we're receiving the due reward of our deeds. We're just getting what we deserve. This cross is no more than I deserve. But this man Jesus, he has done nothing amiss. You see, he recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't on the cross because of anything that he had done. And this evening we must recognize that too. The reason the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary was to pay the penalty for sin. You see, sin must be judged. Sin will be judged. Every single sin will be judged. And it is God's desire that we are not judged for our sins. It is God's desire that we're in heaven for eternity. And so he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ became the very object of sin. He was made sin, and there he suffered for sin. He was a sacrifice for sin. That sin has been judged. And this evening, if you will put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say that your sins were judged. And you will never need to be judged for them because someone else has paid the price. You know, we used to sing a chorus in Sunday school. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash, to take my sins away. And at the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty of sin so that you and I don't need to. That's what Calvary was all about. This man here, this malefactor, he recognizes God. Dost thou not fear God? He recognizes his sin. We indeed justly. He recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as who he was. He says, Lord. And so he just turns to him and he asks for his mercy. And he says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, my friends, this evening we cannot demand or expect blessing from God. We don't deserve it. But what we can do is we can cast ourselves on the mercy of God. And in the words of someone else, we can say, God, be merciful, God, be kind and forgiving to me, a sinner, a lawbreaker. And praise God, God will forgive sins. Not because of anything we do. Not because we come to meetings like this. Not because we go to Sunday school. Not because we read our Bible. Not because we give money to charity. Not because we try and live good lives. None of these things, or all of them, are good. But because we have Christ, the Son of God, as our Savior. This evening, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would ask you, what is it that is stopping you? Just remember Pilate. Pilate, who had the Lord Jesus Christ standing in front of him, and he washed his hands. Remember the Jewish people who had been told that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming, who had him living amongst them for over 30 years, and yet they still rejected him. Rather, be like that malefactor. You say, be like a malefactor? Be like someone who was a wicked... Don't be like him in his sins, but be like him because you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior for eternity. I hope that this gospel message will be a help to you. Remember this story about the collector. Remember that whatever this life may afford you, whether it be wealth, whether it be fame, whether it be poverty, whether it be anything, none of it will matter to you in eternity. Not a whit of it will matter. What will matter is that you have Christ Jesus as your Saviour. And you can say that when the Lord Jesus Christ died at the cross of Calvary, that he shed his blood for your sins. Shall we pray?